How do you continue to improve your conscious contact with your higher power?
My name is Maureen. I'm an alcoholic. The way I get closer to my higher power is that I have God more intimately into my life. I invite God more on a daily basis, coming into my life like a friend. I'm beginning to be able to have a dialogue with God that I never used to have. And it is a dialogue that is based on a need and comfort in talking to this God. Because once upon a time, I used to do it mainly through prayer. I used to use a lot of prayer. And I used to use a few little things that I would meditate on. Now I'm talking to God, and I'm inviting him into a more intimate relationship with myself. You know, come on in, God. What do you think of this God? I talk to him like I would talk to a friend. And it becomes easier and easier and easier. And you know, God is with us all the time. But sometimes I think, well, at least, do you remember the color purple?
Yeah.
Do you remember when she's having the conversation and she said, God loves admiration? And if you don't go by and you say, that's so beautiful, God, that flower, that plant, that thing you've created. If you don't tell God and admire it, he just goes on creating until you stop and tell him how beautiful that is. And that's the kind of thing I do with God now today. I'll see a sunset, I'll say, look at that, God, you created that. And I'll see something beautiful with children, I'll say, look at that, God, you created that. And that's what I do. It's just, it's almost like developing a deeper, deeper friendship with your very best friend. That's what I do. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Michael. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
you know, in the big book it says, "For if an alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive those certain trials and those paths ahead." So that tells me two things. First of all, it tells me if I'm not working with others, I fail to grow spiritually. You know, I can pray, I can meditate, and I can go to church, but if I'm not helping anybody, I'm no earthly good. And then it tells me that's the only way I'm going to survive trials and low spots is by getting out of myself and trying to help another human being. And I try to develop an attitude of gratitude. As long as I'm grateful, I feel really close to my higher power. I feel particularly close. I'm 37 years sober. And I've had a few years where I've just taken the actions, but I lost the feeling. And this year, the feeling of just being, like just feeling my higher power deep inside. And that's come from working 6 and 7. You know, 37 years sober, I still have to address some of these issues. This is an issue I addressed when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I was relieved of the problem for 15 years. And then a lot of, you know, life happens. Back surgeries, foot surgeries, knee replacements, life happens. And it's real hard when you're going through some of this stuff to feel real close to your higher power. I mean, maybe some of you do, but I never questioned it. I knew it was going to be okay, but it wasn't until, you know, all those surgeries were over, and I was able to address my defective character, which was interfering with my life, and was able to give God 50 pounds. And I'm telling you, it was prayer without ceasing. Because, and, you know, people say you don't work on your character defects. This one took work. I don't care what you say. I had to stop eating. I had to develop a food plan. I had to exercise. But the willingness came from praying for it. I prayed daily for the willingness, for God to give me the willingness to do what I needed to do to address this. I didn't feel worthy of getting up at the podium and speaking in Alcoholics Anonymous with all that extra weight on me. And so I just know if you pray for the willingness, eventually it's going to come. And I saw a sign in a club once, an AA club, that said, "You're not a failure unless you quit trying." So every morning, if I would get up and try, I knew I was not a failure. And I knew that I would eventually get this back under control. And so when you're doing the right thing, the next right thing, I mean, you just feel closer to your higher power. I mean, at least I do. I feel closer to my higher power. And I still know that God is good and good is God. And if it's not good, it's not of God. Thank you.
Pat, you're alcoholic?
Pat.
It's a great topic, but do y'all know there's a mariachi band playing down there? I'm sure that can bring me closer to God. I'm sure. Okay, seriously now. You know, I'm always, whenever I'm in a meeting and, you know, the speaker or the participant, whatever, is talking, and somebody's talking about their spiritual practice, their meditation, or how they pray, I'm always paying attention because I think we're always supposed to be continually seeking. You know, I'm sober a long time, but I don't, you know, I don't have it all together, and I don't have this thing nailed, you know. The way I pray is when I wake up in the morning, before I get out of bed, when I wake up, the first thing I do is I say, "Good morning, God, it's Pat." I'm pretty sure he knows who I am, but that's just what I say. And I ask him, you know, to help me stay sober that day and to help me be of service to others and to be kind and to be a better woman than I was yesterday. I say all that before I get out of bed. And then I get up and I do some reading and, well, I have coffee, and then I do some reading. I'm sure God wants me to be alert when I'm doing this. But I, you know, and I pray throughout the day, as many of us do, but I'm constantly trying things that I've heard somebody say. You know, I have a friend, Pat. Her name is also Pat. And we decided that we were going to try this meditation meeting, the AA meditation meeting. We thought, well, that'd be a good thing for us to do. And so we went to the meeting, and they do this whole quiet time for, I don't know, 7 hours or something. Everybody in the room is sitting absolutely still. I'm crossing my legs, recrossing my legs. And I'm thinking, now, don't do that. Don't move. And then everything's itching. I don't know. It was not my cup of tea, let's just say. I was embarrassed to go back, frankly, because I was like a newcomer, you know, fidgeting around in my chair. That kind of meditation does not seem to be for me today, because I'm willing to say that, you know, by next week even, I could find it to be absolutely the perfect thing for me. But I'm always seeking. I'm always, like I say, if I hear you say that you do a particular thing, then I do a particular thing. I'm a big hiker. I hike a lot. And I heard one of my hiker friends where I live said that she hikes up a particular trail, which actually is called the Cross Trail, because at the top there's a cross. Can you imagine they named it the Cross Trail? I mean, and she said she hikes, and I hike up there a lot, but I never actually thought to pray when I was up there. I don't know why. I mean, it does seem kind of logical when I think about it, but it had never occurred to me. And so she mentioned that one day, and I thought, oh, I could do that, you know. And so I started doing that, you know, when I hike up there. So it's, you know, it's constantly evolving, constantly changing. You know, tomorrow I might be doing something else completely different, you know. But I know that if I am, if I'm seeking, you know, then I'm on the right path. Whether, you know, even sitting in that meditation meeting, being so uncomfortable, it's still the right thing to do. It was the right thing for me to be trying. I like what you said, too, about working with others. You know, Sponsorship is a wonderful thing, and I love sponsoring women, and I love all the women I sponsor. I don't like them all equally, however. They are not in this room, obviously, or we would have this conversation. Is it being taped? You know, caller ID on the phone may be the worst thing that's ever happened to sponsors. Because I see who it is, and I see it's one of these two or three that I find particularly irritating, and I think, no, I can't. I cannot pick up the phone. But I always do. My phone at home rings four times before it goes to voicemail. I almost always let those go to the third ring because I'm saying that little prayer before I pick up the phone. God help me be patient and kind and a good sponsor to this woman. And I was talking to somebody earlier this weekend about this. I think in an odd sort of way, I'm maybe a better sponsor to those women that I don't care so much for, because I'm very, very aware when I'm talking to them of being spot on from the book and the, you know, solid AA direction. I'm a little more, just a little more casual and relaxed with the women that I like, because we can talk more comfortably together. So I think in a funny way, I might even be a better sponsor to those. But I hope I am. Maybe I'm just kidding myself. I don't know. Now that I'm saying it out loud. But, you know, it's a constantly evolving thing. I love hearing your stories about what you do, and I'll rush home and do it. You know, there's bound to be something said here, you know, in this panel that I'm going to be stealing and using tomorrow. I can almost guarantee it. When I was sitting there when the music was going on, I was looking at all your faces. When I was up here before, when I was speaking, you don't really, you know, you're thinking about what you're saying, you're not really noticing, but sitting listening to that music and watching you all, I cannot tell you how beautiful you are. Really beautiful. It's a spiritual experience for sure to be here. Thank you.
My name's Cindy Masters. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cindy.
And, gosh, it's kind of a complicated question, but we're all going to say Katie time. For me, it has a lot to do with being awake. You know, it has a lot to do with being conscious. Because I've spent most of my life avoiding being conscious, avoiding being present, avoiding how I feel. And so today, the vessel's pretty clean, so I can be pretty still. And when I'm with you, I can be still. And it is only in being still that I feel God, whether it's with you or by myself. That is where that I get open enough that He can come in. The most sacred place for me, for my conscious contact with God to happen, is with a newcomer that the light's not come on yet. And that moment, that magical moment, and I chase it like I chase booze, that magical moment where the light comes on, I mean, I'm getting God bumps just talking about it, you know? There's something so sacred that there's no denying God. It's not just not denying God, there's no denying the power of God. Now, I'm 31 years sober, and for me, God must get bigger every year. The road gets more narrow, so God has to get bigger. And what worked for me 5 years ago does not work for me today. And certainly what worked for me 10 years ago. So I have to not box God in. And that's hard work. Because I want to feel secure. I want to feel safe. And I think it makes me feel safe with God if I have God all labeled up. And I have them all boxed in. But then I don't get to experience all that's God. So the hardest thing for me is, how do I be open? How do I not have the answer? Because that's really where the magic happens with a newcomer. Yes, it's the steps. But it's not my knowledge of the steps. Not in any way, shape, or form. And I know them. Beth knows. Never mind. I studied it. It's not my knowledge of the steps. It is my ability to sit with someone and let them have their own experience. It is my ability to step back, to say, this is what worked for me, and to let you have your own experience and watch God work just as much in you without my help. That's been really hard, because probably my first 15, 20 years sobriety, I really thought God needed me to instruct you pretty clearly. I gave a lot of details. And I believe that I probably kept some people from having their own experience, because I didn't just lay out the path. I, like, kind of drug you down it. And you know, I think it's also being open to everything. I moved into this neighborhood that I didn't belong in. I didn't think I belonged in. I used to drive in this neighborhood, and I thought, who gets to live here? And I thought, how does anybody ever get to live someplace like this? Well, I got to buy a house there a few years ago. And I was real scared of the neighbors, because they were them. And I'm really afraid of them. But they're all old. Like, they're all old. And you know, they're lawyers, and they're psychiatrists, and they're, you know, all kinds of medical doctors. And I'm a little intimidated, because I didn't go to high school. But here's what I noticed, and this is me being awake. This is not bragging. It's just an example. I noticed that those old people didn't come out when it snowed. So we went and shoveled their sidewalks on a hill. And my neighbor, oh, I'm going to cry. That's not like me. It is now. My neighbor said to me, he's a 70-some-year-old guy. He and his wife, she's a renowned, I mean, she writes constitutional law books. And he's a psychiatrist. He said, we haven't felt safe in our home for 10 years till you moved in. But it gets better. We got really close with them. Now imagine this. I'm 53. I was having my 50th birthday when I moved in there. And they're in their late 70s, and we go to dinner once a week. They're not in recovery. So we got close to them, and they're Jewish, so I was very intrigued. See, I'm open. What does that mean? What's your tradition mean? Can I go to this synagogue thing? See what that's like? I'm not going to join, but you know what I mean? Can I see what... So she got lung cancer. And it went really fast. And we showed up every day. And when they did the last 3 weeks at the hospital, and they called us family, and this is not AA people. And we had family privileges, and we were there when she died. And I held his hand the last time he got to hold her hand, and I helped make him cushioned and nurtured him. You know, we're not the only ones that haven't been nurtured. He said that nobody had covered him up since he was a little boy. That was a risk. That was a spiritual risk to do that. You know, here's this man, and I'm treating him like a little boy. And when she died, in the Jewish tradition, I didn't know this until then, you don't leave the body alone. You stay with the body. And we got to be those people. And I stayed with the body. And it was a very, very spiritual experience. But part of the spiritual that happened when I sat there for 3 hours before the Jewish special people came to sit with her. And and when you're sitting there with somebody that's dead, you know, I could be scared, or I could, like, feel God in the room. And I felt God in the room. And I felt how much that he let me be useful. And I can't believe it. Somebody like me gets to be there for somebody like them. And at the end of the day, we're all just like God's little kids. And when we're dying, or somebody we love is dying, we're so vulnerable. And those things. And when a newcomer is in great pain, come talk to me. Your stuff doesn't scare me. When I get to love you, somebody that couldn't love, that enlarges my spiritual life. That makes me closer to God. And the minute I try to manage it, it goes away. So I got it.
alcoholic. My name is Nishun. I'm going to be really quick because I promised Katie I was going to give her 3 of my minutes. But I'm just here to say that I am a big, big prayer and meditation flunky. I do what Big Book says, an 11th step, you know, and I do that inventory thing, and I can't do prayer more than 5 minutes, I have to say. I just can't do it, because, like, every time I try, I don't know what happens. It happens like, okay, I got to go get that grocery today, or when is Columbo recording, and when is next Luke Bryan concert, and I don't know. And it's just, all I think about is me, I guess. Anyway, so I have learned, and a lot of people talked about it, and Michael talked about it, and for me to have a conscious contact with God is when I have connected with you. And I'm going to steal Howard P., and he always says, mark your spot where you find God and go there often. And the only way I know how to do that is when I connect with you. And when I, you know, do I meditate? Yes. Do I pray? Yes, I do. And a lot of times I use different literatures that people talked about in the meetings, and I steal, and then I go, I'm going to try that. And Jim and I usually, like, you know, he reads one and I read one, and that's my guy. Sarasota Jim, by the way, he says hello. We, you know, read it to each other, and I never had that before, and it is kind of neat. But my most important thing that I think I do to improve it is when I connect with you, and only know I know how to connect with you is be a participant in Alcoholics Anonymous. If I don't have you, I cannot connect. I cannot love God if I don't love you. And that is the only way I know how to connect with God. And Anthony DeMello said that, you know, loving citation of his name, if it does not bring into our presence, it is worthless. And only way I know how to bring it to this present and now is to do it one day at a time, because I cannot be sober what I did yesterday. And so that's what I do. Thank you.
You have about 15 minutes left.
Yeah.
My name is Ellen Cassidy, and I'm an enthusiastic, boundlessly grateful Al-Anon. You are so beautiful. Really and truly, you have no idea. Just to sit here and look at you. Somebody, you know, you come up to me this afternoon and la 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 la. Here's the thing. This crowd is about as open can be. You are so ready. You are so willing. Not every crowd that we see is like that. And there are so many new people. That's like, if I had 7 days of sobriety, I would no longer stand up in this room with you. And I look at those women and I see the face of God. I see the face of God. Because that's how they got in here. Somebody was praying for them someplace. And that's how they got here. And that's how they can stay here. You are a treasure to us, whether we are AA or Al-Anon. Okay, so let's talk about it this way. I ended up in this sponsee line fairly quickly, like almost immediately, and they were these woo-woo people.
I mean, they really, if you listen to them, you kind of thought in a minute they were going to, whoa, you know, just elevate right up off the ground. And I have, you know, I've loved God my whole life. I really have. I thought he was kind of busy to have anything to do with me. He was real busy keeping Saturn from slamming into Mars. And I, it was up to me to do the minute things here, like mind your business. But what I came in here looking for was conscious contact. That's what I came here looking for. I thought you had to get it through a man. Really? Really? I thought that my sponsor used to talk about at-one-ment, which is atonement, but what I was looking at was at-one-ment, trying to find that place where I would feel whole, where I would feel enough. And it has been a search. It's one of the things that brings me to weekends like this. It's one of the reasons I love to be someplace where people have name tags on. Because you didn't have to come here. This was not required. You maybe could have stayed sober or emotionally sober if you didn't come here today. But that was not your choice. Your choice was to do one more thing, go one more step, take one more chance. Open yourself up one more time. And you're the people I want to be with because that's the energy I need to keep me going one more time. People have said to me, you know, how are you managing these days? I'll tell you how I manage. In that just for today thing I told you about today, number 7, because I number all of mine, by the way. You don't have one. You could get one and just number every little paragraph. And then on the 1st and the 11th and the 21st and the 31st, you only have to look at the first one. And on the 7th and the 17th and 27th, you focus on number 7. There are 9 fabulous little paragraphs, and the number 9 one is, just for today, will not be afraid. But I will believe that as I give to life, so life will give to me. I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful. And then the 0, which you get on the 10th, the 20th, and the 30th. Make me an instrument of thy peace. So number 7 says, just for today I will have a program. I might not follow it exactly, but it will save me from 2 pests, hurry and indecision. How have I gotten through these last months? I have a program. I have a program. When I get up in the morning, some years ago, not that many, just the year before the boys came, my grandsons came to live with me. It was like God knew I was going to have a place of my own. I told my husband, because he retired, oh, he was so cute, except not 24/7. You know, I told him, I love you really, but not lunch. And mine running into him occasionally in the hall, but, you know, there were other places. You know, I don't want to see him at my computer. Okay. So we built on a little tiny room on the edge of our bedroom, and it's the meditation room. And there's no phone in there, there's no computer in there, there's no clock in there, there's nothing in there. It's just me and the word perhaps. Edith and I have a friend in common, and it's Deborah's friend too. And she said that's her code word for step 6, is perhaps. Perhaps I don't have all the answers. Perhaps I don't know where this is going. Perhaps there is a God. Perhaps there's a better way that I haven't thought of. Just perhaps. I go in my little room in the morning and I close the door and it has a do not disturb sign on it. Which apparently these boys can't read, but they're learning. The cat even sits outside the room and goes. Because it feels good in that room. It feels good in there. And I never thought I could meditate. I never thought that would happen. I never thought that would happen until a few years ago when I had to. I didn't have any choice. It was the only place I could find peace, 2 minutes at a time, 3 minutes at a time. And what I've come to understand is it's not a failure if your mind travels. That's what it's supposed to do. That is not a bad thing. But every time you recognize that your mind has gone someplace and you pull it back to this moment, that is a spiritual awakening right there. And you can have it again and again and again. And rather than beating yourself up, because that's what we do, you go, oh, look, I can do it again. And come right back to it again.
I do meditation in the morning, and I do my readings, and I always am reading a book that challenges me to think. That's another one of the Just for Todays. Just for Today, I will read something that makes me, I will consider something that makes me think. And my friends, my sponsees particularly, are really tired of that because I'll go, oh, guess what I read today? And then every day, and I've done this for years, I get up and I walk outside because I feel God outside. My relationship with God is the most important relationship in my life. If that is true, then why don't I spend my time with Him? Even if it means I'm uncomfortable sitting in meditation, and I'm very uncomfortable sitting in meditations. I ended up, there's a meeting in our town, it's an open AA meeting, and it's a contemplation meeting. And we only do it once a month, but we meet, they read something from the program, and then maybe something that's not. And then we have 16 minutes, because Alcoholics designed it. 16 minutes of contemplation when we sit still. One time we sat so still for 16 minutes that the lights went out in the room. We didn't even know they got out of the room, but that's what happened. And then we get to talk about what came up during contemplation, which is kind of what it was like with Bob and Bill in the beginning. They had those contemplation meetings in the morning. What has been said, I can't live today. The program I have today cannot be supported by what happens to me today can't be supported by the program I had yesterday. I have to stay open to new ideas. And I have to be able to say, wow, never thought of that. Let me try that. I get up and I walk outside and I pray when I walk. My sponsor taught me years and years ago that I could walk through the steps. I walk through the steps every morning. I started step one. And I figured out what the du jour, what the powerless du jour is. And I take that to step two, and then I take it to step three, and I say, God, I'm going to give that to you today. I'm going to give that. I'd say the third step prayer. Not my own version. I will not bore you. And then I take it to the fourth step. What's my place in this? What am I contributing to this? What am I? And then I walk it through to step 10. And by the time I get to step 10, I'm ready to pray for the people in my life, and that's what I do. I pray for them. Bless them, everyone. Bore you a little envy. Got two more. Katie Smith, I want to tell you one more thing. She'll get over
go
it.
Away.
At night when I go to bed, I have a written inventory. And the first thing I write in my written inventory is where I found joy today. Because where I found joy today are the places I let God touch me. Often, that's a little kid. And often, it's you. I write down what I learned today. Because if I didn't learn something, that's the only way it's going to be a wasted day. I write down what I did that felt supportive today. I do what I write is for my body and soul. And I write down what I did that day for my body and soul. And I write down the highest and best. And that's where I put the things that didn't go so well that day. And I turn it over to God and ask for the highest and best. And then I turn over my significant feeling. Because a lot of days went before I got here, I didn't have feelings. I just had hurt. And it's important for me to be in touch with how I felt today. Because I get to feeling bad and I think I've always felt this way and I'm always going to feel this way. It's never going to go away. So it's good for me to be able to look back and know that I felt this way for 3 days the last time. And then it went away. And the last thing I do are my Tom Eyes. I love Tom Eyes. He's one of my all-time favorite AA heroes forever and ever. Amen. He called me Strange Love. But my Tom I is my tomorrow's intention. And who is it that I want to be tomorrow? Who am I willing to be tomorrow? What am I willing to give tomorrow? What am I willing? And a lot of times something will come up like go see Babs in the hospital. When I don't want to go, I don't go to hospitals. I don't like to go see people I love in the hospital. Certainly when they're not going to come out again. And somehow the next day I find my feet taking me to the hospital to see Babs the next day. So I do those things before I go to bed at night because my committee stays awake all night. And I need to give them something to think about instead of what they want to think about, which is torture. I don't know what else to tell you except that that relationship has become the most important relationship in my life. And I spend time with God. It's not that I don't know time during the day when I'm not spending time with God. Sometimes I'm more aware of it than I am other times. But that's the way I want my life to be. That's the way I want to lead my life, knowing that His grace is my sufficiency. Thank you.
Hi, y'all. Katie Parker, alcoholic. God, I got to talk quick. She ate up half my time. I knew the minute I sat down, I should have sat on the other side of Ellen. You know, we know each other very well, and this is all in play. But on a serious note, outside of the third step, 10 and 11 are my favorite because I misunderstood them for about 20 years. And the truth of the matter is that we are all seekers, period. I mean, that's why we found booze and anything else that changed the way we felt, because we were seeking something. And I think it's so important to understand with this depth of seeking that the book, and I am a technician, the book gives me clear-cut directions on how to get in touch with that power. Now, you can choose not to use them, which I did for 20 years, and it's an interesting ride. Now, let me tell you, it's an interesting ride. And you can find, you know, you can find God a lot of ways that way. But the truth of the matter is try the directions. See what you get. If you don't like them, try something else. I personally prefer Christianity. I have always leaned towards Christianity. But if you don't like Christianity, there's all kinds of stuff. Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, you know, sit on the temple, Tupac, Oprah, whoever you want. You know what I mean? I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can go. There's no judgment in here on whoever you want to find. But the truth of the matter is you need to find something. Okay, don't think you get to be all willy-nilly out there, because you don't. You know, and then you're going to be sitting there whining saying you can't figure out this God thing. And it's like, I'll ask somebody, I'll go, well, who's your spiritual teacher? And they'll go, God. I'm like, that's not quite what I was looking for here. You know, you've got to find something, some spiritual teacher that speaks to you. Anthony DeMello, Emmett Fox, Tupac, Oprah, whoever that may be. You know what I mean? Whoever speaks to you. Because that's just going to be, it talks in the big book, to find books that help you do this. However, that's one line in the book. And so I will be flipping open the book, and I have a very short period of time, so this is going to be really coming at you like a fire hose, okay? It says, every day is the day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done, right? And it talks about how easy it is to let up on these spiritual principles. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent. That means pay attention. Contingent on your maintenance of your spiritual condition, right? So if we're talking about this, it then comes down to farther down into the book. It says, to some extent, we've become God conscious if we followed clear-cut directions. So you can find all kinds of stuff out there, but this is what we found that treats alcoholism. And so I've done everything, and I mean to tell you, I did Bible study fellowship, and after 4 years of Bible study fellowship, if any of you guys have ever done that, I had to ask my daughter if Jesus was a Gentile or a Jew. Okay? I know some of y'all don't even know that answer either, okay? But after 4 years, I should know that answer. And so one of the things that I can tell you is I kept trying to seek the knowledge of God. I didn't understand. When it said conscious contact, I'd never even saw those two words put together. I'd never seen the two words thought life put together. So you got to ask yourself, exactly what are we doing here? Well, it says in the third step, it says that He will take care of what I need, the terms of the deal, if I stay close to Him, perform His work well. Well, in order to stay close to Him, I got to get close to Him. So I got to get unblocked. And then I got to take care of His kids. So there's two terms to this deal before He takes care of what I need. Because you see, it doesn't matter. If I'm blocked, I can't hear God's will if he had a bullhorn. I mean, I might hear it one out of every 10 times, but that's about it. So one of the things that I like to look at when we're looking at these directions, it talks about fifth spiritual condition, right? 10th step is that I'm watching for resentment, dishonesty, selfishness, and fear. And when these crop up, the urgency behind the 10th step. I know I'm taking your step here, honey, but I'm doing it anyway. Okay, so then, one of the things that we ask God at once to remove it. At once. Talk to somebody immediately. To make them amends quickly. Resolutely turn our thoughts away. See, hear the urgency in that? It's not wait till the end of the evening. That's the 11th step. At the end of the evening, I'm supposed to check my work. How'd I do? Let me ask you. Do you do that every day? Okay. Neither did I for 20 years. Okay? I paid a hefty price for that, baby. So you check your work, right? You answer these 9 questions. People say, you know, inventory is not always supposed to be taken in red. That's the evening review. But the rest is all red. Resentment, dishonesty, selfishness, and fear. Why would it ask me those 4 things if they're not going to crop up? See, it says when these crop up, I am to watch for these things because they're coming up. They're not going to ever stop coming up. And so then we take these, right, this evening review, we then take those corrective measures into upon awakening. Now, upon awakening says to look at your 24 hours ahead. You are to write a to-do list. You should to write about what your day look like. Well, I got to go to the grocery store. I got to get those goddamn kids a little butt in the car. I got to be nice to them when I'm trying to get their ass in the car. Okay? I got to be nice at the school when I see the people at the school. I got to try to be as nice as I can in the coffee line. Blah, blah, blah. You are looking at your 24 hours ahead because we by nature are very grumpy, short-tempered individuals. Am I correct? Any line you're in, watch an alcoholic. You know what I mean? We don't sit there and just go, hey, you know, it is what it is. On a good day, maybe. So, if this is the case, we're looking at these 25, and then you know what it says? It says, hey, oh, by the way, you ask God to divorce you from
submitting.
So you guys that didn't know that, you're not doing the deal, okay? I'm just saying, you're just not doing the deal. So, if that is the case, these are the things. Think about it. The very first thing it says, we're not to be divorced from fear. Self-pity. Because that's what we are coded with most of the time. And so one of the things is, so we do these disciplines, right? And I always look at this like fitness, because it says to stay in fit spiritual condition. Mark Houston was my guide on 10 and 11. You want to get your brain blown out, listen to some Mark Houston on 10 and 11. But he said, Katie, because you are a fitness professional, you get it. So being a fitness professional, I know what it takes to be an athlete. Been an athlete all my life. It takes that I have to exercise. Sure, we get that every day. Oh, by the way, every day. Hour and a half, every day. I have to eat good, every day. Okay? Now, most people think those are the only 2 things you need. Oh, no. You need to sleep at least 8 hours a day. You need to drink a shit ton of water. Okay? And I'm not talking about... That is more than a buttload if you're keeping, you know, any sort of time. And so these are the things that are required to stay in fit. You have to be very disciplined to be an athlete. And that fitness is the same thing you bring into being in fit spiritual condition. Because we are to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God. We're talking, you've got to bring this in. And this is so required, guys, that you've got to break it down. And let me tell you something else, because I know I'm really going to be bad if I run over Tom, although. So, the... not really feeling so bad because Ellen went over, so I can. I'm just not looking. You notice I'm not even looking on this side here. You know, they all stuck by the rules. And so, one of the thing about being in fit spiritual condition that is so important is in the fitness business, you can't just do the same thing every day. You have to mix it up. And you have to do the exact same thing in your 10 and 11. You have, or your 11th step. You have to mix it up. Your evening review, mix it up. Sometimes do it in the morning. It's better to do in the evening. The original manuscript had it in the morning. They changed it after it got all fully written. You have to look at, how are you going to break this thing down? You got to write your list over here for your day. Are you going to do, I do two-way prayer. I love what the Oxford movement did. You know, they did the two-way prayer where God talks to me. You know, when it says to study, you're supposed to study spiritual literature. I study the spiritual laws. I study one law about for 2 weeks. One law. So I read it, and then I reread it word by word. You're constantly trying to get this intimate, personal relationship with the Creator. I look at it as a love affair. If you ask me, it is a love affair. You know, you fall in love with somebody, and the sky is bluer, and the music on the radio is better, and everything's just, hey, how you doing? I'm in love, you know? Thinking about him all the time, looking at my phone. You know what I mean? That lasts about 3 weeks, but here you go. And here's the beautiful thing. That's the exact same thing I'm supposed to do with God. My barometer is to constantly go to prayer. After this weekend, you know what? I'm going to have some really cool experiences. I'm going to be thinking of my buddy Ellen. I'm going to be thinking of my friend Pat. I'm going to be thinking of my friends here, and I'm going to have consciousness of them for about a week. Does that make more sense? So that's what we're working towards for God. Everybody has a different experience with it. But I'm telling you, the directions are clear cut. Follow them for a month and see what your experience is. Thanks.
That's right.
What?
That's right.
I only have 2 minutes. So. No. My name's Marty Ruby, and I'm an alcoholic. Well, now that we've had the clear-cut directions, which are great, and I appreciate that so much. And, conscious contact, as so many people have touched on already, first I have to be conscious that there is a God in my life. I have this great sign in my kitchen that says, bidden or not bidden, God is present. You know, and I didn't get that for a long time. I thought I had to say the right prayer, light the right candle, burn the right incense, stand on one foot, whatever that was, and then God would come. No, I have to do the things I have to do is prepare myself to be conscious that God is already with me. So what does that look like? How do I do that? One of the things that's most important for me is to, and all my girls know this, say yes. Say yes. All the time. Every time, you know, and especially when you don't want to. I like to call that divine inconvenience. You know, like somebody saying, oh, God, she's calling again. Hello. You know, and being aware of the majesty of that right there, of the majesty of that, even when I don't want to be. I don't think God wastes anything. Not anything that's ever happened in my life has been wasted. Even though, you know, sometimes I want to hang my head in shame and go, well, that was humiliating. But what I've been able to do with whatever has been shameful and humiliating for me in the past has now become my greatest asset. Right? And I cling to that thought, believe me. And so, what else does it look like? Saying that yes, that divine inconvenience. And everything in my life I try to see as a prayer. Everything. Everything can be a prayer. Washing dishes at my sink is a very prayerful action for me. When it used to be, oh hell no, let them pile up. You know? And I'm going to dare him to not do them. Right? Uh-huh. I did them last time. I ain't done. Right? But, you know, but washing the dishes is a prayer for me. Feeding the dog is a prayer for me. Taking out the trash can be a prayer for me. And why wouldn't it be? I have been delivered from the ashes like a phoenix rising, you know? And I've been given this life that is beyond my wildest dreams. Beyond it. And it's all possible because of a God of my understanding. That's what I believe with all my heart today. And so being conscious of that
And the one of the most beautiful things is knee to knee with someone on my sofa, because I always pile up my legs on the sofa. You know how that is. And getting to see, bringing that, I don't know what I bring to them, but I know what they bring to me. Whoo, you know, and you know, after you've spent a couple of hours with a gal and you shove them out the door, and you just get that divine quiet just for a moment. And I, you know, that is not, I didn't come in here looking for any of that. I didn't. And I'd hear people talk about it, and I'd go, oh, brother, you know. I also, like Katie says, I change it up all the time. I know I love people who have done the very same thing every single day for years at a time. And I'm kind of envious of that. But I have fear of commitment. You know, so I change my books up a lot. And one of my most recent activity has been to take it outside. You know, I live in the country, and so I don't even have to put clothes on if I don't want to and go for a walk, which is pretty cool. Try that sometimes. Just go outside naked. It's great. This is new for me, but I'm leaning right into it. You know, and it's a powerful thing. You know, I used to hear people say, oh, I'm all about nature and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whatever. Because I lived in the city. And, you know, and being able to watch where the sun goes, you know, like a couple of months ago, it was rising over here. But now it's rising over here. And it's, you know, and it's, which sounds silly and simplistic. But for me, it's a big deal because I can actually be inside my body, inside my own life, inside the world. You know, and I had a very powerful spiritual experience just the other day, walking down the road on the place in my pajamas. I did have pajamas on. And I have this mockingbird that likes to follow me around. And the noise of the birds on the place is just deafening. I mean, it's just like sometimes you want to go, oh, for God's sakes, just stop it. And I thought of all the birds in all the world. And I think of all the people in all the world. And I think of all the women in this room. And I think of how we're all connected. And how everything is just one thing. And that one thing for me is love. Man, I didn't come in here with that, I can tell you. And it's a powerful, powerful place for me to be today. And, you know, I'm listening to I Can't Stay Sober on Yesterday's Gone. Because if I'm trying to, I'm resting on my laurels. Thank you. That's all.